A special outdoor edition of BulaNetwork.com, Friday, May 13th, 2011. Hello, everybody. Randy Cantrell here with another episode of BulaNetwork.com. Decided to come outside because here in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, May 13th, 2011, it is terrific. It's in the 60s, so I'm out on the rear deck of the Yellow Studio. I grab the MacBook Pro, grab the Blue Yeti microphone, so the sound is different. You'll hear birds chirping. Rocky the Wonder Dog and Rosie the other Wonder Dog, you might hear them bark at some point. Something tells me Rosie's liable to just go off at some point during the show. Birds chirping, wind blowing, leaf blowers, weed eaters. Fridays are lawn care day around here. Is that where it is where you're at? Everything's green here, by the way. I realize in some parts of the country, trees have not yet gone into full bloom, but, man, we're way yonder past that. All the trees are out and green, and everything's just, it's great. I like this time of year. I like this time of year. This time of year and fall are some of my favorite times, so we decided we'd have to come outside and enjoy the weather. Mental toughness. The subject, mental toughness, mental strength. Do you give it any thought? I've read about it for years and years and years. I've been interested in it, and I guess some of my first books that I ever bought that have to do with mental toughness, and if you go to the bookstore, so many of the books about mental toughness, they have a sports component. As a coach, I was always interested in the mental toughness of players because, boy, it just seems to make all the difference in the world. You could coach a young man, and the sport of hockey was my game. You could coach a young man in hockey that just had all the skills in the world, but, you know, he had a nickel brain. I don't mean by that he was stupid, but a nickel brain when it came to mental toughness, when it came to adversity. I mean, the slightest thing, the little slightest thing could just completely derail his game. And you just, yeah, you know, I've spent hours and hours with kids of all ages who were mentally just fragile. And I've long wondered, you know, why? I mean, why is of all the kids on the team who should feel great about themselves and who should just have just ooze with confidence and not let anything get them down. And then, you know, at the other end of the bench, there would be some kid that didn't have half the talent, but, you know, in the sporting vernacular, just had tons of heart, just undeterred, just ridiculous resolve, ridiculous tenacity. And you're like, you know, I mean, doesn't this kid see that he does not have anywhere near the skill that even most of the kids on the team have? No. Oblivious. Didn't care. Just getting out there and just going after it and just getting knocked down. Doesn't matter. Get back up. Keep going. Just unfazed. I've marveled at both ends of the spectrum. And, of course, there's little doubt that it's equally frustrating. It has been for me as a coach through the years. You know, there have been times that I so wished that the kid who he had so much passion for the game and so much desire and tenacity. And, you know, I've caught myself wishing for this kid that he had better skills, that he had better athleticism. But it may be sadder. In fact, for me, as a coach, I'll confess, it has been sadder to see the kid who had all the tools in the world, all the athleticism, all the things needed to just be spectacular, but didn't have the guts for it, didn't have the mental toughness for it. And so I've tried to help instill confidence, if you want to call it that. I mean, whatever it is that makes up mental toughness. And the question that I have is, what do you do? Do you do anything? Is mental toughness, is that a component of your self-education? Is it something that, do you work on it at all? I think there are so many of us that just kind of take it for granted that, well, you know, people, they just are who they are. The young athlete who has great skill but just, you know, is very easily defeated just for whatever reason, they just don't have confidence, and that's just how they're wired. I can't bring myself to believe that. I can't bring myself to not try to help a kid in that situation. I look at how, as adults, ranging in age from young to old, and how we respond, well, for instance, with our own health. We greet people, and we extend our hand, and we ask the obligatory greeting question, "How are you today?" And then we pray they don't answer because, well, we know how they are. They're the person who is going to catalog for us, starting with the tips of their toes all the way to their scalp. They're going to tell us everything that's wrong with them. I mean, it's 10 minutes later, we're still hearing about all the maladies that they suffer, and we're thinking, man alive, why did I ask? And it's not that we're insensitive. It's just, you know, we're probably more interested in ourselves than we are in them, even though we ask the question. And then we can go up and we can ask other people, maybe an elderly person who just has a great disposition, and we know for a fact that they may be suffering with debilitating things. You know, it could be arthritis, it could be something even more severe, not that that's not severe. And we can ask them, "How are you today?" And they may look at us, they may smile, they may shake our hand, and they may, "Everything is fine, you know, I'm life is good." And what's the difference? I mean, how is it that one person can drone on and on and on about the most minor thing? You know, a hangnail can just seem like it's a life-threatening ordeal, and other people can be going through genuinely life-changing ordeals, and it's no big deal. I mean, you can't conclude that it's anything other than outlook. You can't conclude that it's anything other than mental toughness. You can't conclude that it's anything other than just their mindset and how they view things. And how is it that somebody can be so wired one way and somebody else can be so wired completely the opposite way? I'm reminded of friends that I've had and still have that are going through some terrible ordeals with their own health. And sometimes someone is diagnosed with cancer and they have to endure, you know, some rather dramatic treatment. For instance, they may have to endure chemotherapy, and as a result, they may lose all their hair. And some of us did that the natural way. And it permeates everything in their life. It affects not only their life, it affects their family's life. It affects all the conversation. And privately, many of them through the years have confided in me and said, you know, I get so sick and tired of talking about it. I get tired of people asking me about it. Because things like that, they just tend to take over your life. And I really understand their perspective because they've expressed it. I don't understand it in that I have experienced it firsthand, thankfully. But I understand it by them telling me about it. But I understand the other side of it too, because as opposed to, well, how are you doing? How's the treatment going? I realize that many of these people would just like for somebody to say, "Hey, did you see the game last night?" And just have those regular conversations that all the rest of us have. But, you know, when you're face-to-face with somebody who's going through some ordeal like that, you know, doesn't it seem like you're kind of trivializing things? I mean, it's like, I'm such a shallow person. I'm so insensitive to your problem. I'm going to ask you, "Hey, did you see the game last night?" instead of asking you about your health. Then there are other people who just seem to relish it. They seem to, it's not that they want the illness, but they seem very interested in continuing the conversation about it. They're willing to talk about every doctor visit. They're willing to talk about all the gripes and the grievances they've had. They're willing to talk about all the great nurses, and they're willing to embrace the conversation and make it the focal point of life. I'm not being judgmental. I'm really not. I'm not judging either situation. I'm simply using it to illustrate the different mindset and the different mental levels of, I'm calling it mental toughness. You may not agree with that, but in my mind, that's what it is. In my mind, the person that wants to get past it, the person that wants to take on the challenge, and I'm not talking about this head in the sand kind of stuff, you know, oh, I'm fine, and you know they're not. But I mean the person that comes to grips and comes to terms and faces the reality, but, you know, it's just you got to do what you got to do. And they just, you know, they rather take things in stride, and they realize that this isn't going to be necessarily the defining thing in their life unless they allow it. That mental fortitude, it's amazing, isn't it? Have you ever met somebody who says, who brags about the fact that they have a really low threshold of pain? Man, I have no tolerance for pain at all. You know, man, the little slightest thing just sends me into a tizzy. You know, you never hear anybody say that. You always hear people talk about their tolerance for pain. Oh, yeah, I've got a high tolerance for pain. Yeah, the truth is, I don't know that we really know. And I suspect the same thing is true when it comes to mental toughness. I mean, how tough are you mentally? I mean, I don't know how to answer that. The only way that we know that we're tough is just, you know, throw us in the fire and let's see what happens. Some years ago, I got a spell just prior to the start of church services one Sunday afternoon. I mean, I broke out in this profuse sweating, and I just felt awful. And I had a rather sharp pain high in my stomach, not in my chest. And about 2 minutes before services started, I told my wife, I said, I've got to go to the back. I feel awful. Well, I went back to the bathroom, and immediately I took my tie off, unbuttoned my shirt. I mean, I couldn't breathe. I just felt terrible. I didn't feel like I was going to throw up or anything worse. I just didn't feel right. I walked back to the back, and a guy sitting on the back row, I approached him and I said, "Would you go up and get Rhonda?" The service had already started, and I said, "Would you go up and get Rhonda? I've got to go. I need her to take me home." So he went up. My wife and I sat up on the front, toward the front. He went and got her. She came back to the back. We got in the truck, and I took my shoes off, put my feet up on the dash, and I was just, it was like I was pedaling a bicycle. And I said, "Just get me home. I just feel awful." I wasn't screaming. I wasn't thinking about pain. It wasn't that. I just didn't feel good at all. And she saw me pumping my legs, and she said, "Home nothing. I'm taking you to the hospital." Well, she takes me to the emergency room, and they take me in, put me in a wheelchair. And the first thing I remember the nurse asking me is, on a scale of 1 to 10, describe the pain, with 10 being really, you know, the strongest. I said, "I don't know." And she kept on pressing. "Well, from 1 to 10, just give me a number." I said, "I don't know, 7. Now, my knees are just, I'm sitting in the wheelchair, and my knees are just pumping. I mean, I'm just, and she looks at Rhonda and she says, "Well, we've got to get the pain under control, because you can tell he is, this is what you call writhing in pain." She speculated kidney stones, because she said, you know, we see this with kidney stone patients. I mean, we call it the kidney stone shuffle. They can't keep their legs still because the pain is that intense. And she began to question me about, you know, 7? I'm like, yeah, you know, 6, maybe 7. And even looking back, I don't know. I wouldn't describe it as just being, I don't know. I certainly didn't get a sense that I was writhing in pain. Now, my body clearly was reacting. Now, I do know this. I have a high tolerance for pain medication, including anesthesia. It takes a lot. That's a metabolic thing. I mean, that's not some mental toughness thing. Trust me. They gave me a couple of shots. I'm still just pumping my legs. I remember her coming in and telling Rhonda that they had given me, you know, 2 to 3 times what they normally give. And finally, they gave me a 4 shot of something. and it began to work. Well, in the middle of me pumping my legs, at the time I was coaching a group of college guys, and one of the players called. I just, not knowing I was in the hospital, just calling me something about the team, I don't know. And I just, my cell phone was there, and I took the call. I have no memory of it at all. I was drugged up. But Rhonda said, you know, you took the phone call. Like, there was just, it was just nothing. You didn't mention you were in the hospital. You didn't mention it. You just had this conversation like everything was fine. And meanwhile, you know, you're just pumping your legs. I'm only saying that to illustrate the point. We really don't know. I mean, we have all these theories about how we would respond and maybe how tough we are. And the fact is, until we're in the midst of it, do we really know? You know, yeah, I'm probably like you. I thought I had a reasonably high tolerance for pain. Come to find out, I guess I kind of do. But, you know, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and argue that, well, that's just my mental toughness. And that really is the point. I think, I mean, some of these things, I mean, aren't they just a little bit inherent in who we are? I didn't make any conscious decision that it would take four shots for the pain to be dulled for me when the average person, they can take one or two shots. I didn't have anything to do with that. It's just how it happens for me. But I look at mental strength. I look at determination. I look at tenacity. I look at the ability to view a challenge and not be devastated by it. And I gotta believe we've got choices there. I mean, I refuse to believe that we're wired how we're wired, and if we get knocked down by life, some of us just won't get up, and that's just who we are. There's nothing we can do about that. Thankfully, I've never met anybody who argues that. Now, I've met people who, they live their life as though they believe that. That there's nothing they can do. You know, they're just a victim. Why is it that some people refuse to be a victim and other people relish being victims? I don't know. I've read and I continue to read a lot about mental strength, mental toughness. And I'm one of these guys, I play out these hypotheticals in my mind. I don't feel like I'm a pessimist, and this is going to sound like I am, and I don't feel like I am, and I don't mean it that way. But do you sit around and ponder bad things happening to you? I don't mean that you do it all the time, but do you ever ask yourself these what-if questions, especially if you encounter somebody that's going through a tough time? I mean, don't most of us internalize those kinds of things? You get news that a good friend has suffered some tragic news. I mean, can you help but internalize that? Can you help but put yourself in their spot? I mean, sure, part of it is being empathetic, trying to be sympathetic. But can you prevent yourself from thinking, you know, what if I were in that condition? I mean, what if that were me? What if that was news that had visited my life? Wonder how I would react. I think most of us probably think like that, don't we? Well, not only am I able to think like that, but, you know, sometimes I'll catch myself kind of hanging on to that thought. Embracing the thought enough, I don't mean embracing it, loving it, but embracing it enough to go ahead and try to answer the question. Now, here's the reality. I can try to put myself in a situation of somebody who's received tragic news and say, okay, I wonder what I would do. Would I react this way? Would I react that way? Would I react at all like they're reacting? How would I react? Truth be told, can you really know until you're there? When my children were small, my wife and I didn't wait until someone had tried to introduce them to alcohol or tobacco or illegal drugs. Now, we did the preemptive strike that most wise parents do. We taught our children about the vices and the dangers of these things long before it was ever even suspected that they would be subjected to it. And we taught them when you are subjected to it, here's what your wise response needs to be. It's preparation. Right? I mean, as parents, we're trying to raise wise children to make wise choices. We're not going to wait until they're right in the middle of it. For me, that's been one component of my own quest to try to improve my own mental toughness, my own mental strength, is to put myself in these hypothetical situations that aren't hypothetical at all because they're happening to somebody. And most often they're happening to somebody that I know well. And being a person of faith and conviction, I pray for a good outcome. I pray for strength for them to endure it, hopefully to overcome it. But I can't help but feel, okay, what if that's me? What will my response be? And I tend to believe that by thinking about it, by preparing, maybe that's making me better. I don't know. Do you think, am I delusioned with that, you think? What do you do? What actions do you take? Do you think about it? Is mental toughness, is that part and parcel of whatever self-improvement program that you're on? And I use the word program loosely. I mean, it's not like we're holding forth in some formalized class all of our lives, but hopefully, you know, we read and we think and we ponder and we mull things over and we debate with ourselves and maybe with those people that we're close to. And hopefully we're all on the quest of this quest to constantly improve, be better. For me, so much of it is in the realm of mental toughness because I just happen to believe that so many battles are won and lost there. So many businesses they succeed or they fail based on mental strength. So many lives are affected because people just, they quit too soon. They give up. They let adversity, you know, ruin it for them. I'm pretty intent on being a guy that doesn't quit, being a guy that doesn't give up. But then at the same time, there's the whole other mental toughness challenge of, well, you need to know when to say when. And when do you say when? How do you know that you've given something, you know, a good enough go and it's just not going to work and you need to move on to something else? You know, there are all these questions. I'm curious how you deal with these kinds of things. I'm curious what you do to grow stronger mentally. Or do you do anything? Do you just happen to think that you're wired one way or the other and that's just how it goes and you just have to do the best with it? I'd like to know. I'd like to know. You can leave comments at the blog post. You can send me email. The email address is results@bulanetwork.com. Hey, I'd like for you to visit the Facebook page. I need to get more likes over there. You know, we all want to be popular. I don't think I've busted 60 yet. That's pretty depressing. Facebook.com/Bula, B-U-L-A, Network. Facebook.com/Bula Network. There is a like button, by the way, over on the right-hand side of the website. So you can click that, make it easier. Hey, I appreciate you listening. Happy Friday 13th. Till next time, see ya.